Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight. Amen. Good to have my family with me. And I praise the Lord for being saved. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad I met my wife years ago. Saw in the pastor's wife. We were talking about getting over here, directions and all. I learned to make double sure even when I think I know how to get somewhere. Because one time I thought I knew how to get to the church and I didn't make it. And so I try not to do that anymore. But that happened years and years ago. But when my family stand up, y'all probably won't recognize them. Time passes and you don't realize how much time has gone by. The brother was talking about when we walked in the door, he said, it was about a year ago that y'all come. And I told him, brother, it ain't hardly human possible. We've been out of the country for we ain't seen y'all for about 2.5 years. So that's Levi on the end over there. And Levi's 9 years old. And he's 9 going on 18. Amen. And this is my youngest daughter, Darlene, right beside him there. I'm just teasing. That's my wife. And I've been accused of robbing the cradle, but then Brianna's beside her. She's 12. And Jacob, he's turned 15. And since we've come in, we've got off the airplane. My brother-in-law, Tony Lambert, he's from over here. He's from Cherokee originally. Brother Tony took us to Cracker Barrel, and we started eating, and we ain't stopped. Amen. We have gained 15 or 20 pounds. Darlene's the only one that hadn't gained that much. Amen. Just keep myself out of the doghouse. But I appreciate my family. Amen. Y'all. Amen. We was going to sing for you tonight, but after that good singing, we just won't sing. No, we was going to really. I had in my heart I was going to sing, but I believe that this is what the Lord wants us to do tonight. So maybe we'll come back and be with you another time or after the service we'll sing. Y'all can be seated. So good to have you with us. Brianna, she always has prayer cards when we get done. And if you want to know anything about Bolivia, if you've got any questions, you can just ask my family and they can fill you in. But she'll have prayer cards like these. And if you want to get one of our prayer cards so you can pray for us, we sure would appreciate it. I want to tell the church thank you for supporting us and for being co-laborers together with you. We do have a reward waiting on us in heaven. Amen. Just like all the other missionaries that support you around the world and other places, you will meet that reward one day. Amen. You're going to meet Bolivians that you've never seen, that you don't know, but you'll stand before God, and they'll stand before God saved because you gave. Amen. And so everybody can't go. Amen. But everybody can give, and that's what we do. We're all giving together. Amen. Doing our part to reach souls around the world. Amen. And before we get started in the preaching tonight, I just want to. Our display is out in the fellowship hall, and you can take a glance at that and see some pictures about the ministry the past couple of years, what the Lord's been doing. They say a picture's worth 1,000 words. And so you take a look at that and. And it tells you a little bit about our place, Bolivia. How many of you here tonight knows who we are, have seen us, met us before? Raise your hand if you've met us before. Well, like I said, time passes a little bit quicker than you think. And so I want to tell you that we are missionaries to Bolivia, South America. How many of you know where Bolivia's at? Raise your hand. I'll tell you, Bolivia's in the heart of South America. If you take your finger and stick it right in the middle of South America, that's where Bolivia is. It has no sea coast. It's surrounded by Brazil, by Ecuador, by Chile, by Argentina. I started to say somebody's got their hand back there. Up there, you can see on the map, that's where Bolivia is. And we worked in the jungle city for a while, and then we moved. After 2 years, we moved to the Andes, and we've lived and worked in Bolivia. In March, we'll start our 10th year living and working in Bolivia. And we've been missionaries. We've been going to Bolivia for 14 years. But the Lord, we surrendered full-time 11 years ago to go to Bolivia as missionaries. And y'all been helping us over half of that time. Y'all been supporting us and praying for us. And so on. Tell the church hallelujah. And thank you very much for being behind us and allowing us to do what God has called us to do. Our place is there in Bolivia. Our purpose, of course, we're church planters. That's what our goal and our ambition is, to be church planters. But as you look at that board over there, it'll tell you a lot about our ministry, a lot about what the Lord's been doing. And then I'll talk to you just a little bit about our plan, our purpose, and our plan. Let me start by just saying what the Lord has done. When we first moved to Bolivia, we lived in the jungle area, and the Lord allowed us to go into a place where a church had pretty much closed down. And a missionary told me, he said, if you want to go back in there and see if you can get it started back, he said, I'll back you. And so we did that. And the Lord blessed. In the first 2 years, we were running close to 90 on Sunday mornings. God was blessing. People were getting saved. They didn't know anything about an altar. We were out in the jungle, though, under trees. We started out under trees, preaching. And then the Lord moved us under we rented a chicken barn for $13 a month. Amen. And we put a wall up there to try to make a division between the road and the inside there. But God began to work. We began to preach about the altar and the importance of the altar. And one of the men in the church built an altar there in the front of the church. And one night, God just moved in awesome power. It took us weeks to figure out who all got saved. Amen. That's the truth. And God just did marvelous things. After 2 years, we moved to La Paz. And there now we have three works going. And for the past 2 years since we've left, went back. The church that we had one church going then, and we went back and we started just trying to work, just put all of our efforts into getting that work going. And the Lord's allowed us to grow that church, and they've grown spiritually. This year they'll have their third missions conference. They support three missionaries. And this year, Lord's willing, they'll take on two more missionaries. And they're praying about taking on a missionary to the Philippines. They have three Bolivian national missionaries that they're supporting. We're fixing to support another Ayamata Indian missionary. And so you pray for them, that the Lord will give them the vision for the world. Amen. As Bolivians, they believe that there's no place outside of those mountains. And it's kind of like us mountain people here. Amen. But That's the way that I thought before I became a missionary. I thought that there was no other place in the world. I didn't think there was anybody saved in California. Amen. I'm honest with you. I didn't think anybody knew God outside of these mountains. That's just the way I thought. And when I felt like God was calling me into missions, when the Lord first called me to preach, I felt like that we were going to go to Hendersonville. I'll be honest with you. I told the church that night, I said, we're going to be going. You just pray for us. I don't know where, but we're going. And after a little time, the Lord expanded my vision a little bit. And I thought, well, maybe the Lord wants us to go out west. And we prayed about going out west to Montana as a missionary from Montana came through. And then God just began to work through my heart during Bible college as I was studying there at our home church. Had a very small little Bible college just to prepare those men in the church. We wanted to study and prepare our lives for the ministry. And during Bible college, the Lord burdened my heart. And they told us, get a map of the world down and just pray, because the commandment is to go. If God's called you to preach, He's going to send you somewhere. They said very few have a special calling. This is what my pastor said. Very few have a special calling to stay among their people and to minister. If you looked at Gadarene demoniac, that was his call. He wanted to follow Jesus, didn't he? But Jesus said, no, I want you to go back to your people and tell them what I did for you. Amen? And so that's a special calling. The majority are going to have to go. Amen? And so I didn't mean to quench his spirit. If that grieves somebody in here tonight, but that's the truth. Amen? And so we thank God for the call. God called us. We put that map down the world and began to pray and ask God to just show us where He wanted us to go. And God called us to Bolivia. And the Lord has just blessed during this past couple of years. So we went back and tried to establish work more concretely with the first church that we started. The Lord opened another work, and we began to work in a little village, a small village of Ayamata Indian people. I wish I had all night to tell you. I could just tell you stories all night long of how God opened that door. It took us about 2 years to gain their confidence. But me and Jacob first went in that little village, and they speak all Ayamata there. They can speak Spanish, especially the children that can speak Spanish, but they have their town meeting and everything's in Ayamata. The people there are Geronimo, amen, that's his name, and Francisco, and I'm speaking English. Hold on, let me get my brain back in Spanish here. Santiago, and there's some of the men in the village there, And they opened the village up to us. The Lord allowed us to, Darlene started off by just buying them paper to have classes and school material, pencils and things like that. And then she was talking to my sister on the phone, and my sister's church sent money over there to buy them all shoes. And we bought all the kids in the village shoes. And when we left that day, they was bringing us onions and potatoes and everything, just trying to tell us thank you for caring about us and thinking about us. They feel like they're a forgotten people. And then another church over in Asheville, they give us money to help them put some piping in the village to try to get them running water. They never had running water in the village. And we did that. And through that, God just opened doors. And one day, the water had dried up, and I told them, we'll just pray. And me and Jacob were down there digging in that ditch. And they said, well, what prayer are we going to pray? And brother, he's not saved yet, but in Ayamara, Hilata means hermano. It means brother. And that's the Indian term. They call each other Hilata and Kuyaka, which means brother or sister. But it don't mean save like brother and sister like you're talking about, or I would say. But once in Bolivia, once they start calling me brother or sister, Darlene, or brother Jacob, when they start doing that, they've opened up their heart to you. And so they did that, and they told me, Brother Steve, you know, this village is, you know, wide open. You know, it's like give us the key to the city. You come here and do whatever you want to. And so we're praying about the Lord allowing us to buy property there and build a church in that village. Lord's allowed us to raise some money to purchase property in the city, and we hope in the very near future to be able to purchase that property there and to buy property for this second place. This past year, the Lord sent the third work that we have in El Alto, which is a city of 1,200,000 people, has no fundamental Baptist church in it. And they're all Ayamata people, and it's a place that God burned my heart for when I first went to Bolivia in 1997. And all these years later, this past year, a man that I don't even know sent money to another missionary and said, will you give this money to Brother Steve Fannin to buy property in El Alto, in that church, in that place? And we went through there, and a place that God had burdened my heart for over and over again, as we'd stand at the airport, there's a high place, and I would pray over that place as we would go through there. And God, amen, God sent the money there, and we went up through there, and there's this little open area, no houses around, because working around those Indian people, you can't just come in, especially as a gringo, as a foreigner. I can't just come in. It's like, is anybody here from up north? Can you raise your hand if anybody here is born or from the up north? If you understand what I'm saying, when you move down south, it's very difficult, isn't it? I mean, for people in the mountains to accept you, you have to drop a little bit of that accent. Amen. I'm just being honest. You know, I was born and raised here. I can talk straight. You know what I mean? And so, and that's the way it is for us down there. Just being able to speak Ayamata in the car. We can show it to anybody if you want to see it. But I don't preach in English. I preach in Spanish. I have a Spanish Bible that I preach out of. But now, after 10 years of learning Spanish, my whole family's fluent. God has blessed us to be able to speak Spanish. My kids are as comfortable in Spanish as English, I would say. And Darlene and I are still struggling. Amen. No. But now we're learning Ayamata, and we're learning the Indian language. And so it opens tremendous doors when we're able to come up to them and say, Kami Saraki. And they'll say, Waliki. And I'll say, Umasti. And that means, and how are you? And they'll say, Waliki Daki. And that means, I'm good too. And then they'll say, Kunasutima. And I'll say, Nayak Satato Esteban, Missionerutua. And I said, my name's Stephen. I'm a missionary. And they step back and they'll say, here's a gringo speaking our language. It'd be like speaking Cherokee. And then not just speaking Spanish, but being able to speak their language. That's their heart language. And so, you know, then I'll tell them, Parlañani Aymara. And that means, let's speak some Ayamata. Boy, and then they're real excited. And they'll start talking. I don't know what they're saying. They're just talking 90 miles an hour. So we're learning now Ayamata. After it takes 10 years to learn a trade language, and then we start learning the dialect or the language of the people that you're going to work with. And most missionaries that work in a country that have that have several languages, that is the difficulty that they have to overcome to be able to work with the indigenous people that they work with. I was trying to remember a joke that somebody told me. I can't remember how it goes. But America is one of the only countries in the world that only speaks one language. Most countries in the world, the people speak two or three different languages. And you'll find that in most countries in the world. And for too long, we're going to be speaking two languages here, ain't we? Amen? And anyway, for I grieve the Spirit, I'm going to go on. Amen. Amen. Pero nosotros hablamos español, amén, y casi toda la gente, amén, en Texas, en la frontera de Texas, y también en Miami, en muchas partes de Carolina del Norte, en Washington, D.C. también, hablan español, amén. Y nosotros, todos nosotros hablamos español. ¿Me entendiste? Did y'all understand what I was saying? Did anybody in here understand what I was saying? Amen. My family's got their hand raised. But I said a lot of places in the United States, the border of Mexico down there in Texas, if you go to Miami, Florida, there's many places here in North Carolina and in Washington, D.C., and some places out west in Washington State, there's places where there is a lot of Spanish spoken here in the United States. And it's a reality. Amen? And so if you learn Spanish, it'll help you get a job about anywhere. Amen? So, anyhow, amen. Anyway, what God has done great things. We have a Bible ministry the Lord has allowed us to have. Any Bible, if you designate money towards Bibles, all that money will go to taking John and Romans or Bibles and putting them in the hands of Bolivians or Peruvians, amen, or people from Argentina. We're praying the Lord has opened some doors in those directions in this past 2 years for us to begin to maybe work into Chile. Brother Robertson was in our church there not too long ago, our home church over in Brevard. And when we go back, we're hoping to be able to go into Chile. Amen. And I was talking to one of the young men that works with us in Peru. He called me on the phone as we were overcoming to the church. I spoke to him for about, 20 minutes or something on the phone. And so the Lord is expanding our ministry. He's opening doors. He's allowed us to start those three works in La Paz. And that's what I was telling you before I stopped. The Lord allowed us to go to that place there in El Alto, and there's a little adobe building, and I just, in my heart, got a little, you know what I mean? And I went up to that building and knocked on the door, and I said, "Ma'am, is any of this property for sale?" And she said, "It sure is." And so I talked to the owner, and the Lord allowed us to purchase four lots, and we have that building. Amen. And as soon as we go back, we're going to set up the gospel tent and hope God starts a church there and pray and God will send revival. Amen. And that the Lord will do great things. But we're trying to do some renovations in that building. We're trying to put a bathroom and a kitchen in there. And we've already got it started. We've got some drains and some things. We're started the wall already, laying the wall. We need to finish the little roof on that. And so there's projects always that we're involved in that we could use help on. If the Lord burdens your heart or touches your heart about it, we could, any money that's designated that comes through us, that goes through our mission board, it's our home church, is used specifically for that need. And it will go to whatever you designate it for. Amen? And so the Lord has we have Anchor Baptist Church there in the city and Iglesia Bautista Chiraque, which is a mission work. This is Wednesday night. They're having service there in the churches. Sunday, you know, they'll be having churches there in that mission work. And this week, all week long, in both of those work, they're in Vacation Bible School. Nationals are running it right now, and they're doing that. And then the Lord's, because it's summertime there. Here it's winter, there it's summer, you know, because you're on the other side of the earth. And, you know, water boils at a different temperature where we are. We're at 13,000 feet, so water here boils at 212, right? There it boils at like 170 or something like that. You can almost stick your finger in boiling water down there where we live. It takes almost 24 hours to cook pinto beans. So, anyway, it's different. Now, what I'm saying is it's different, you know. And being down there, they're in Vacation Bible School, and Brother Robert and Jessica Murray, they're from our home church. They just left to go down there while we're here in the States, just because the ministry is so big. Our home is like a mission home. It's not by as much by choice as by design, amen, or as it by necessity, I should say. The Lord's design, amen, the Lord allows us to help missionaries as they come in out of regions as far from the city, and we're able to put them up and help pastors and nationals as they come through. There's hardly a week that goes by that my wife don't feed 10 to 15 people in a week. And so our house is open, and we're able to minister. Please pray for us. There's many times that the burdens get so overwhelming, it'd be so easy to just say, Lord, I can't do it anymore. But God, His grace is sufficient. And He is so good. He's such a good God. He knew how to take a mountain boy, amen, and put him in the mountains of South America and give me a wife and a family that's willing to do what God would have us to do. And so please pray for my wife and my kids, that God will keep our heart, amen, focused on His will and what He would have us to do. Because I want to finish my course. I want to run the race. Amen. And so you pray for us, what God has done, what God's doing, and what you can do. Well, you're already doing it. Amen. You can pray for us, and you can support us and be involved. Sometimes a phone call on our prayer card. If you look on there, there's a number there on the back, and you can email us there. You can contact us. You can send just a card to encourage. You can be involved on mission trips. If you want to come down on a mission trip, we have youth camps every year. This past year, a group from our church came down and helped with the youth camp. And so Darlene promises to take care of you. Amen. You have a place to stay. Won't cost you anything, maybe except for if you want to buy souvenirs and maybe a little bit on the food. And we can help you in that way, put you up, and you can pass out as many tracts in John and Romans as you can ever imagine doing in your whole life. And we'll go out and pass those out, and they'll come running to get them. And going in new places. Place just 2 weeks before we came in, went into a village, gathered a group of 200 or 300 people, preached, give them all John and Romans, and showed them the gospel there, and preached, and 16 got saved. I walked up to one of them, and Giovanna said, Brother Steve, I want you to come meet this lady. And Darlene and her were talking to that young lady, and I said, well, it's very good to meet you, and she introduced us, and I said, are you a Christian? She said, yes, I am. I'm a Christian. She was crying, you know. They were fellowshipping. I said, glory to God. I said, when did you get saved? She said, just now, amen. And so that's what it's all about. And what's the price of a soul? There's no price that you can put on a soul. Amen, no price. If one got saved, but around the world, more than one's getting saved. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Amen. Don't get discouraged. Amen. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they're wide already to harvest. Amen. God has been preparing this world for what we're living in right now. But the pastor mentioned that Macedonian call. And he was talking about God turning him. We're living the Macedonian call right now. He turned him from going to Asia and sent him to that European call. That's what he did. And the gospel overspread Europe. And it got ocean bound, couldn't go any further. And God sent her across the waters into a new country. Amen. The one we're living in right now. And He's used this great nation to send the gospel around the world. That's what America's purpose is to glorify God through what He has blessed her with, to send the gospel to a lost world. Because when this dispensation of the Gentiles is over, y'all know what's going to happen. Amen. You know that we're out of here. He's going to go back to dealing with them Jews. Amen. We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And we're just doing our part right now to get the gospel around the world. And anything that you do and everything that you do, one day is going to make a difference. Amen. It does make a difference. And so I want to just tell you thank you. And appreciate y'all allowing us to come be with you tonight. Amen.
Won't you bring us up to speed? We were able to give toward that building endeavor.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Some legalities.
Yes, sir.
Just bring
I sure will. We first looked at a piece of property that we prayed for in the very beginning. We looked at a piece of property about buying it, and it never would pan out. And we waited and prayed. The church, we started what we called the matching fund, which was for every dollar that the Bolivians give, we matched it with an American dollar. And they raised close to $10,000 with matching and that way. And they have that set in their account there in Bolivia. And that money is at our church also in an escrow fund, that matching fund money. Well, about a year and a half ago, like what the pastor's talking about, the Lord opened the door for us to buy a different piece of property. And so we were excited. We were fired up. They wanted, you know, about $50,000 for this piece of property. Right, we matched it anyway, all together with what they raised and what we matched, we had already saved about $10,000. So that was there. And what we did when we found this piece of property, we were excited. And I told Pastor, I said, if we're going to buy something, we need to, you know, I said, our people have done all they can. Me and Darlene have done all we can. And he said, well, let's try to raise the money for that piece of property. And that's when we started that Bolivian capital campaign. And the Lord allowed us through you and other churches to raise the rest of the money to be able to purchase it. And we had two different lawyers check out the papers. But in Bolivia, paperwork is not like it is here. I went to the license office today and tried to get a license plate on a vehicle. And you about have to pull teeth to get a license plate on a car anymore. And it's just very difficult. Well, it's 100 times more difficult in Bolivia just because they're trying to do away with the corruption that is in Bolivia. Bolivia is a country that was built on the cocaine trade. It was because of the coca that they grow. America has invested millions of dollars in trying to eradicate the coca down there. Well, this new president, he's kicked all that out, and he's hooked up with Fidel Castro and Hugo Chavez, and they're wanting to turn into a socialist communist country. And so anyway, we were going to buy that piece of property. We had lawyers check out the paperwork, and it's becoming more and more difficult because they're trying to tighten down to cut the corruption out in Bolivia. And when we went to the lawyer's office, we were fixing to close. And the lawyer said, you cannot. These papers are not good. And we were so discouraged. I mean, just unbelievably discouraged because it just did not go through. And the lady told me, she said, well, we'll get our papers in order. And I said, as soon as you do, we are so excited about buying the property. And it's took her over a year and a half. And right before we came in, she called and she said, Brother Steve, I think we've about got our paperwork in order. And by this time, we've already had to rent another building because our church is growing. And the Lord has given us another facility. We've rented another facility greater. But all the money that was given towards that project is in escrow. Every bit of it is in escrow at Anchor Baptist Missions International. And it cannot be used for anything else but purchasing that piece of property for that church. And so what we were excited when she called us, and I figured to do the paperwork, she would want another $1,000 or $2,000, whatever it cost her. But when she called us, she told us, she said, I'm going to need a little bit more money. I said, I understand. I know, you know, I was expecting that. And she said, and we need $20,000 more. And I said, hold on just a minute. And so we just figured that that's God closing the door on that deal. And we're right now, right before we came in, the original piece of property that we've been praying for over 4 years, the original piece of property, I told God, I said, Lord, I'm going to go by her house one more time. And if you want me to pursue it, you'll just have to do it. And I went to her house. Me and Darlene drove by her house. And I walked up to the door, and she came and opened the door before I could even knock on it. And she said, Brother Steve, she's not a saved person, not a Christian, but they call me Brother Steve, and that's exciting. Amen. because they're Catholic. You know what I'm saying? So that means they accept us. But anyway, they don't understand about salvation or anything like that. But anyway, she said, Brother Steve, she said, I don't know why I came to the door. She said, but I've been wanting to contact you about that piece of property. And so we're praying. You pray with us that that will come open and that we'll be able to buy that property as soon as we return to Bolivia and that we'll begin to be able to begin construction. And what we're going to do, we already had teams lined up back a year ago to come down to do masonry construction and different things. And as soon as we buy the property, then we'll be able to begin construction. So it's in the Lord's hands, amen. And we sent a letter out and told all the churches, if you want the money that you sent back, you know, you just contact us, we'll give you the money back. Or if you can just be patient and wait on us, it's in escrow, it's there for us to be able to purchase it as soon as it becomes available. There was a piece of property about a block from our church that came open for sale, and it was $40,000. And we went to look at it with the men of the church, and they sold it in 5 days. And so it's very important to have the money ready when you're ready to purchase, because it's a big city. It's the capital city of Bolivia. It's like Washington, D.C. of the United States, but it's La Paz, Bolivia. It's the capital of Bolivia. And so with all the embassies and all that there is there, it's very difficult. It's one of the things that are difficult about being a missionary. Amen? And so that, if anybody's got any other questions, you're welcome to ask anytime, anything. Amen. Anybody got any other questions? A guy, I was talking to him about this very thing, and he said, that's one thing that he said I like about the mission board at Anchor. He said, at any time I can call Randy Barton. He's my pastor, and Brother Whitty Moore is the director of the mission board. At any time you can call them and ask them about anything that involving the mission work, any money that's been spent, anything that's been done. Because we try to do things above board. It just doesn't always work out like we'd like. You know, a church gave us money on a car one time, and the car didn't pan out. And I called the pastor, and I said, Pastor, do you want the money back? And he said, no, you're going to need a vehicle. Just keep saving. And we kept saving, and the Lord allowed us to find a better vehicle. And when I came back from Bolivia, the Lord gave me a block job, and I laid the block, and the Lord gave me the rest of the money to be able to pay for that vehicle. So the Lord has His way of showing you where the silver is in the fish's mouth. Amen. And He has a way of being able to do it His way. Can I praise the Lord just a minute? It'll be all right. We looked at a van when we come in about buying a van. And I just couldn't get peace about what we were going to do. My pastor had, the church had went and looked at a Yukon to buy to help us to have a vehicle while we were here. It was one that was wrecked that they were going to fix up. A man in our church does that. And we had went and looked at a van. And long story short, we just waited and prayed. And the vehicle that we drove here tonight, I tagged it today. It was a wrecked van, but it's a town and country. And it was wrecked, and he fixed that thing. And I want to tell you something, that is a blessing. We have been borrowing my nephew's Blazer. And that thing eats gas. Oh my! And $48 to fill it up. And we filled that van up a while ago, and it was $28. And me and my wife was shouting, "Amen!" and rejoicing. And God has just blessed, and He's met the needs, and He's done. He's able to do it that way. And anyway, we're excited about what the Lord's doing. Amen. Amen. Anybody else got any other questions about Bolivia or anything? Amen.